In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I remember, as a choir boy, singing in a performance of Rejoice in the Lamb by Benjamin Britten, which has been quite popular with church choirs for some years, although I don't think we hear about it so much now. But it was set to a text by a rather crazy poet called Christopher Smart. And Christopher Smart wrote verses which included the animal creation. He talked about, "I will consider my cat Jeffrey, who worships God by turning his body in elegant ways and twirling about and waving his tail and so on." And of course it looks to us just like being merely poetic. But is it true? Is there a sense in which the animal creation worships God? Are their voices part of the hymn of praise which rise to the throne of heaven? Well, some people have said so, and St. Basil the Great wrote to that effect to a certain extent in the 4th century. But we, of course, with our extraordinary emphasis on individual commitment on the one hand and intellectual ability on the other, have found that kind of thing rather difficult, because we're not quite sure how animals can fit into that, whether they can have a sort of commitment to God, and whether they have the intellect that's required to understand such things. But there must surely be another thing about this as well, and that is this, that it's God loves all existing things, as I said to you this morning, quoting Thomas Aquinas, and when you love something, you don't readily give it up. And it seems to me that there's no necessity to think of the creation as something which is simply designed to produce us and then can be done away with. It seems to me that the creation is much bigger than us. We may be the crown of creation, but we're not all there is to it. And I don't see why other creatures capable of relationship and thought and love and care and fear and all the other things that we too go in for, I don't see why they're simply to be dismissed at death, and why they can't be part of the world to come. Particularly as the world to come, we are told, where we're concerned, we will be changed from glory into glory. We will evolve, in other words. And I don't see why the lesser brethren shouldn't evolve along with us. We're not going to be stuck in the same sort of way that we are now, God be praised. We are going to develop. And it seems to me likely that other beings could do exactly the same thing. I don't see any reason why they shouldn't. God loves them. He doesn't simply want to dismiss them, but to fulfill them. And death, in the Christian religion, is the gateway to absolute and complete fulfillment. And it should be, I suppose, for them as it is for us, that gateway. So while we don't know, and while we can't say definitely, it seems to me that hope is a very proper part of the Christian religion. We do hope for what is not seen, and we do hope for things that we don't fully understand. And I personally hope that I won't be, as it were, surrounded simply by us, but by the whole of God's creation, perfected, developed, growing, evolving into the glory of eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.